And I tell you what, I'm going to preach like there's 200 people this morning. I don't know how else to do it. So if you expect any less, it's not going to happen. Because I am who I am. I tell you what, the Spirit of God is what keeps us. It's what drives us. It's what guides us. And I'll tell you, when Gene said there's some more things going on and my side of the family and our side of family, it's really not light. It's very, very heavy stuff. And you know, we weep in our hearts, but you know, the only thing we know to do is hang on to this. I call this the sword of the Spirit. It's just only the Holy Ghost, only the Holy Spirit in our lives can take us through what we have to go through sometimes, because we don't have any control over many things that happen in our lives, right? But we do have control whether we pick up the word and say, Lord, help me to walk through this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. And that's Revelations, Jude, and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John near the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Let's read that again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I'd like to speak on where are our steps leading us? Where are your steps leading you? Throughout Scripture, every person who did something great seemed to go through some dark places. I don't know if it's a prerequisite, but it sure sometimes appears that way to me. Sometimes it seems like it's the dark places that lead us into the lighter places. And so I'd like us to look at a few Bible characters, and I always look at them as my Bible heroes. You know, we have WWF heroes and MMA heroes, and you know, but there is nothing. When my mind goes to true heroes, all of that is excluded. All of that leaves my mind. What comes to my mind is the characters and the scriptural people that God placed in here that we can gain insight from and gain great courage from. So let's look at a few heroes that in my mind is just marvelous people. The first one, and I'm not leading us through the story. I want to lead us into what steps did they take. Moses was one of the greatest men that we could think about in the Old Testament, one of them. And, you know, he made a mistake in his life. And as great as he was, as much as he, you know, accomplished in the spiritual end, he had a great mistake in the beginning of his life. Well, 40 years old, but you know, before he met with God in a great and deep way, Moses killed an Egyptian man. And he was very sorry for that, but he spent 40 lonely years on the backside of the desert feeling that he had blown it. In that dark place, something began to shape in his life. Moses was being prepared and developed. He was developing patience, humility, strength, and trust. Moses was communing with God. And when you think about it, 40 years, oh my goodness, that is a long time. But when he came out of it, I think he was on the other side. Moses was on the other side. And then he was able to hold up his rod and part the Red Sea. Wow. That, to me, that's a wow moment. That is a long time. But he would never have been able to lead the Israelites out of slavery and out of Egypt if he had not stepped into that long time with God. That's an awful long time. Some haven't even lived 40 years. Some of us have lived way beyond that. I'm talking myself. But he became strong in God. His past steps led him into his present steps. And you know, that's the way it is. The steps that we take today lead us into our steps for tomorrow. The steps we take this week will lead us into our steps for next month. The steps that we take this year will lead us into our steps for next year. So we have a choice. Do we move forward? Do we stay still? Do we slide back? What do we do? The options are always up to us. God always leads it up to us. Let's look at another hero. Again, not this storyline. That's for another time. But Esther, she was an orphan. Having lost both of her parents and having lived in a foreign country, she felt alone, forsaken, and abandoned, and she was kind of in a dark place. And yet, in all of this, God was preparing her heart to the place. I want to help my people. And she came to that place where she said, if I perish, I perish. If I lose it, I lose it. If my life be gone, I lose it. But I'm going to do my best. I'm going to stay here. And you know, those steps aren't always easy. In fact, sometimes they're very difficult. But they lead you to where God wants you to be. That was Esther's destiny, to say, if I perish, I perish. And you know what? It worked out. Does it always work out? I can think of times it didn't work out. But at this time, Esther became a prominent person in the Word of God because she gave her heart, and it's a heartfelt thing. She gave her heart for her people. Joseph, we all know the story of Joseph, but Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers, falsely accused of a crime, and put in prison for a dark place. How long was he put in prison? For 13 years. And you know, I have a friend who spent 5 years to no fault of his own. I know I was in the storyline many, many years ago, but he spent 5 years in prison as an innocent man. Joseph was an innocent man. But did he succumb? Did he break? He held on. He held on. He held on in prison. He held on to his faith. He held on to God. 13 years is a long, long time to be in prison. Like I said, my friend was in prison for 5 years. I can't even hardly imagine being, you know, losing your freedom and being cooped up in a jail cell innocently. But it happens. And that's why he becomes a hero of faith. He becomes a hero. He became someone that we can attribute ourselves to. Say, I want to be like that. In my dark times, I want to hang on to God. In my darkest times, I want to know that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand. And Joseph stood. So, he's in the Word. You know, sometimes we think that they were a long, long time ago. But I want to say something this morning. Do you know something? The only thing that separates these men, the only thing that separates these men is time. Whether Moses lived 4,000 years ago, what if he lived 3,000? What if Joseph lived 2,000? What if this story was only 1,000 years old of Esther? What if Elijah, who we'll look at in just a moment, what if this just happened in the 18th century? See, the only thing that separates us is time. Sometimes we think of these characters as some kind of special time element, you know, that happened a long, long time ago. The only thing that happened was time. The only thing that happened was time. Elijah was a man that lived in a time of people were serving Baal and serving idols. And it seemed like out of nowhere, Elijah came. And he rose up against those that were worshiping anything but God. Now, I don't know his time spent with God, but I know somewhere along the line, Elijah had to have spent much time with God, because when it came on scene, Elijah was ready for whatever was thrown at him. Whatever was thrown at him, he was there. He was ready to stand up in the strength and the power of God. Wow. He called fire down out of heaven. He did miraculous things. How did that happen? He spent time with God. Where did it lead him? It led him into the will of God that God had for his life. And that all happened just last year. Elijah, that just all happened last year. See how real it is? We think of sometimes it's like long ago. And it was long ago. But the only thing separates these men of God, and the only thing that separates the miracles, the only thing that separates it is time. David, King David, was a man that had his ups and downs. He had his ups and downs. But he was known for one thing. He had a heart after the heart of God. He made Jerusalem the capital. And in the world, if you went to Jerusalem, and I praise the Lord, I had that opportunity to be there, they still called the city of David. He had his ups and downs. But I'll tell you what, when it got really, really tough, he always did one thing. What did he do? He always looked north. He always looked up. He always looked toward the Lord, toward God. And we were talking in our home this past week about Psalms 18. And I just want to read you a couple of scriptures from there. And I've been reading, and it is amazing. It's truly amazing. All the things that David went through. I mean, Saul was chasing him. His enemies was after him. And yet he said, "For you, Lord, light my lamp." In Psalms 18, "The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness in my dark times." How many times have I said that? There are dark times. "But in my dark times, you have made me so I could run against the troop. And you have caused me so by my God, I can jump over a wall." He said, "I can bend bronze." Remember the story of David? By that Spirit of Almighty God, he causes us to do some things that we can never do on our own. Never do on our own. I think it's wonderful. Do you think it's wonderful? I want you to be encouraged this morning that the steps that we take will lead us to a brighter... He said in Psalms 18, it will lead us brighter and brighter path. So we're all on a path this morning. Where's our path going to take us? David ended up being a man that was called the man after God's heart. I want to be like that. Don't you want to be like that? I'm nothing special, but I want to be like that. Don't you want to be like the men that had wonderful things and wonderful stories? And that's the gospel. It's a story of truth. The gospel telling, the guidance, the spiritual guidance that we get from not just one gospel, but the gospel of truth. You may not realize it, but it's in those dark times and places that you grow. That's where your character is developed. That's where you learn to trust God and persevere, and where your spiritual muscles are made strong. In the dark places, you pray and you draw closer to God, and you take time to get quiet sometimes and to listen. I hadn't learned that. I thought prayer was always one way. Jeff, I thought prayer was we always asking God. No, sometimes prayer and listening and getting a hold of God is listening just in our quiet times. That's why the psalmist said, meditate on the Lord. That doesn't mean yoga. That means meditate on the Word of God. And it'll help us. It really will. Oh, I've been in church for a long time, since I've been 13. Now that's over one half of a century. That's over a half century I've been in church. And I've seen people get so disgruntled with church, they got tired of church. They got tired of church, and so they wanted to leave church. And I found out through my own personal observations that there seems to be, there's many reasons or excuses that people leave church. But I found out there's three main ones that I think of over the years that I've been in church. And I'm going to tell you two of them this morning. The third one, I'm not going to tell you. But the two, I'm going to. Now, that's pretty good. That's 66%. That's two-thirds. Now, let me tell you. I think Jeff could pry it out of me if he was to stand me on the corner of the ice cream parlor, corner cones, and put a triple chocolate waffle cone in my hand and say, Rick, what is that third one? I think I'd have to tell. I think I'd have to tell you. But this morning, you're just going to get two. It seems like when people get disgruntled with church, it seems like the first thing, and I've heard it many times, there's just too many hypocrites in church. Well, there's not much defense to that, because all of us are human. All of us have weaknesses, and there's none of us that are perfect. So, you know, if somebody calls us hypocrites, there's not much we can do about that. But I'll tell you what, I just think that it's an excuse, because many times when people leave church, they don't find another gospel-telling church. They just go on their own way, and it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. Because we draw strength from one another. I draw strength from you. You draw strength from me. And we need each other. I need you, and you need me. So, we're not better than each other. We're just all on this path, toward a place called heaven. And I've seen people go it alone, and they don't do so well. They just really don't do so well. Another one I hear, the second one I hear a lot when people get disgruntled as church is, I can go to heaven without going to your church. Yeah, I can't deny that. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a whole lot harder to get there. You won't have the strength of your brothers and your sisters. You won't have anyone to lean on. You won't have too many. Some try to go it alone. Someday I'm going to preach a message. I have never preached it. Why are you going alone? And why are you going where you're going? I had to take a course this past week, about a week ago. It was a CPR first aid course. And the instructor said this. I'd never heard this before. She said, I've been instructing for, I think she said, 25 or 30 years. It's a long, long time, first aid CPR. And she said, I want you to try to answer when I ask you a question. Because I found out if I ask you a question and you don't respond from 7 to 9 seconds, it gets uncomfortable. So what's that got to do with it? Oh, that was just for Dave Love. I was just telling him. I was just talking to him. If I ask you a question and you get quiet for 9 seconds, isn't that weird? 9 seconds. Why 9 seconds is so short? But she said you get uncomfortable. Oh, I feel like trying it. You think I should try it? That's a question. You think I should try it? Think about it. It's true. 9 seconds and you're going to get uncomfortable. Well, I'm trying to make you uncomfortable today. But I do have a short, brief sermon illustration for you. And it's like this bath of coal. It's actually charcoal wood. It's a special one that's made out of wood and charcoal, and it burns kind of fast. Think of us like when we're in church. Anyway, by the way, if I'm speaking a little longer than usual, it's because I haven't spoke for a while. I can't help it. So, you know, it's like in church, you know, if you have coals, hot coals and that are all together, they stay hot for quite a while and they'll burn. They'll burn till you put your wheel down. They'll burn. It'll be wonderful. And that's like, you know, if you're on fire for God and you're melting together and you're heating and you're saying, oh, wow, this is wonderful. You stick together, you stay like this. There's heat. There's a method to our madness. But if I take something out, now you say, I'm leaving church. I'm tired of it. I'm going. I'm out of here. Okay, you're out of here. There you are. Now, whoa. All of a sudden the fire's gone, the heat's gone, you're all alone. Yeah, you can get to heaven. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot harder. Because temptations come, trials come, things happen in life. So you have a choice. You have a choice. I love everybody that's listening wherever to be here. Come. I want to be there. I want to be on fire for God. I want to stick together rather than, oh, and maybe your son or your daughter goes with you. I don't know. Oh, but how long will you stay on fire for the gospel, for God? Not as long. Not as long. All right, let me move on a little. I'll have to depend on Jean to raise her hand or do like her mother used to do, look at the clock. I'm just kind of full of it this morning. Oh, let's look at, we will move on. Cut any negativity. Can't cut negativity in our life because we need hope. Being hopeful about your soul, being anchored to the right thing, taking the right step to lead us in the place that God wants us. Because without an anchor, we could lose hope. And where's our anchor? Our anchor needs to be right here. In the precious book that's lasted throughout all time. Now you could be anchored to discouragement. You could be anchored to negativity. You could wake up discouraged. And when you wake up discouraged, sometimes your perspective gets tainted. It's hard to see. It's hard to see. I mean, all of us have been places we weren't seeing right. Everything looks sour. Everything looks wrong. In trials, sometimes there's a choice of getting bitter or better. It's hard not to get bitter, but that's why we have to lean on the Spirit. We have to lean on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the hurts are so real. It's undoubtedly, I'm not questioning that. It's very, very real. But we have a choice of saying, God, I need more of you, or we can blame God. So many are blaming God. Good God. And he just makes decisions that we don't fully understand, but we have to believe him. We have to trust him. It becomes more than a word. It becomes leaning on him, trusting him. Because sometimes life doesn't seem fair. I'm not making light of what happens in our life because I know it's real. But I'm simply saying that being anchored to the right thing, being anchored to what God has for you, being anchored in the wisdom of God will lead us further than what we can lead ourselves. I'm dependent on the Spirit of God. I'm dependent. I'm not independent. We're dependent on Him. So, anchor yourself into hope. Anchor yourself to Him. And you'll find that you'll have more joy. You see, I shouldn't have any joy. I don't have any right to have any joy. You folks are just getting my heart this morning. I don't have any right to have any joy. We've had so many things happen. I've had so many things happen. I don't have a right to have joy. But I know this. The Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to grab onto that. What are we going to do? We can leave it, or we can love it. I choose to love the word. I choose to stay in the psalmist where he said, my feet almost slipped, but with him all things are possible. I will not. I'll travel through the valleys. The mountains that seem so high I can't get over, he will help me. That's why he said, by my God, I shall run through a troop. I shall leap over a wall. You'll never do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I'd be spiritually bankrupt. Weak. Being meek is not weak. I want the fullness. I want to tell you something this morning. God has no cousins. He only has children, sons and daughters. You and I are the
sons. Isn't that great?
I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm trying to preach with you. We're children of the living God. Huh? Let me bring it into modern day just for a few minutes. I don't even know how long I've spoke. I've only got about 50 minutes left, so an hour maybe. So just hang on your seats. Fasten your seat belts because we're going for a ride. Just kidding. Hey, I woke that sister up in the back. All right, just kidding you. Let's look at just so for a moment. We live in a day when the culture, it seems to be changing. They call it cancel culture. But I want to tell you something. Whatever you have in the Bible, whatever you have in experience with God, don't let anyone cancel that. Don't let anyone cancel your beliefs. Don't let anyone cancel your doctrine. Don't let anyone cancel your profession. Cancel culture will lead you away from biblical standards. Cancel culture will lead you away. We're different. We're walking through this world, but our future is not in this world. Isn't that great? The changing culture allows everyone to be his or her own God. I could say a lot about that. Don't have time, but you know, the cultures are changing. But I'll tell you what, we always have to depend on. I always refer to this because it is the living word. Not dead, the living word. And I think it's so true, and I'm not a big Deuteronomy guy, but we do want to read something to you from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25 and 24. We're going to read that now. Wow. We could preach a whole message on that. That is just so powerful. Deuteronomy 4, 24 and 25. Wow. God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. Jealous God. We can have no gods before us. Wow. That's amazing. I don't know. Do you ever just contemplate? Just be patient with the word. It just does something to us. Wow. Sometimes I used to hurry too much.
When I was in my 20s, I stopped preach real fast and I preach real slow. And that maybe is my age. I don't know. But I like it to sink in. Oh my goodness. Isn't the Word of God precious? I'll be finishing up here. But I want you to remember our scripture that we read in the very beginning. Greater is He that's in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And that encompasses everything. That's the beautiful Lucifer. That's all his cohorts. That's the devil. That's the demons. That's life. That's circumstances. And we have something greater in us. Put that anchor of hope down and start believing. Start expecting God's goodness and blessings. Life is too short for us to go through drifting and feeling negative, discouraged and passionless. Life is too short to be discouraged. Get your hopes back up.
If you don't have expectancy in your spirit that something good is coming, then you'll limit what God can do. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts that's in you. Stir up the gifts. If you stir up hope, you can get hope. If you stir up self-pity, you'll have self-pity. You stir up worry, you'll always be worrying. But if God is good, He'll help us to obtain our goals, our dreams. And the enemy does try to keep us from that. But let's have our hope in God. Let's just be encouraged this morning that we want to take steps that'll lead us into a brighter future, no matter what happens. It's not always easy. But I can't help it. It says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And why are we called believers? Because we believe it. We believe it. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you that you give us a lamp at our feet and a light into our pathway. We're not good. We're not good in ourselves, but Lord, you said you would make us worthy for heaven through your Son. We thank you for, Lord, we've repented from our sins and turned from them. And wow, that's the big moment. That's the big crisis and pivotal point in our life, Lord, when we turn from our ways. And when we do slip, we thank you that we have an advocate with the Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're so compassionate, mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you said you'll have mercy on those you have mercy and compassion on those who you have compassion. And Lord, we feel like we're in that area. We're there. You have mercy on us. You have compassion. And even when we fail and we do sin, we thank you, Lord, that you've made a way that we can live through it. We can be through it through your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that we can pan after the word of God like the deer pants after the water brooks. We thank you that we have good news. And we thank you for the Proverbs, Lord, that you give us that says good news is like a good news from a far country is like cold waters to a thirsty soul. We just thank you, Lord. We pray that this week that we'll be encouraged, even though we may face discouraging times. Lord, I just accept your Holy Spirit. We just pray your Holy Spirit will lead each one of us and all those that are in the sound of our voice this morning. We pray that you would minister to them in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.